You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to The Game Plan, the podcast of the Raider Nation on the official Raiders podcasting network. I'm your host, JT. We get you ready for this upcoming Sunday, November 11th, as the Oakland Raiders host the Los Angeles Chargers at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. That is a 1:05 p.m. Pacific start. Raiders coming in 1-7, and the Chargers coming into this game with a record of 6-2. We'll game plan this game for you with our guests coming up here in a few moments. Like every podcast, we look back at the last game before we move on. And quickly, the last game, the Raiders lost 34-3 to the 49ers in Santa Clara on November 1st, I believe is one of the worst regular season losses in franchise history. That's it. There's not much more to say there, dating back to 1961-62, with what was at stake coming into the game in the Battle of the Bay, the last Battle of the Bay, in Santa Clara, and a quarterback who never played before in Nick Mullins. The way the Raiders executed the game plan, the way they played the game, again, I believe is one of the worst losses that I've ever seen covering this team. So that's what we're going to have to deal with as we start this week before the Chargers. How do the Raiders put that loss behind them with some extra time off going from November 1st to November 11th and bounce back and have a good performance coming up against the rivalry with the Los Angeles Chargers? Back to the 49er game. Everything that could go wrong went wrong in that game. Nick Mullins' first start ever. On his opening drive, he was 6-for-6 and a touchdown. He ended up 16 of 32 for 262 yards in that game. 143 yards rushing for the 49ers in that game. And the Raiders allowing 6.75 yards per play. That was just a forgettable performance. And a lot of people have been beating up the Raiders ever since in regards to what happened in that game. We know about this roster. You can describe this roster any way you would like, as this roster is being reevaluated, and obviously players are leaving during the midseason. Bruce Irvin, who, by the way, let's begin by thanking Bruce Irvin for his years with the Raiders. Bruce Irvin was let go earlier in the week. He was picked up by the Atlanta Falcons, and we wish him well. But clearly, with the Niners, the Raiders did not execute at all. They did not play well on offense. On defense, I thought they got absolutely dominated. I didn't see the effort that I typically see when I see the Raiders play a football game. And everybody has to own it. John Gruden and Derek Carr were able to do that. And the Raiders have got to find a way because they have not been playing well. Dating back to London, the first time out, losing to the Chargers when they lost 26-10. Down at the StubHub Center in Carson. This is a Raider team that is now playing their worst football and at the midway point have to find a way to motivate themselves to put on a show at home in front of their fans and get the season going again. Not back on track, but get it going again where they're playing better football. Derek Carr, after the loss to the 49ers in Santa Clara.
I believe that, you know, just talking to our guys, talking to our leaders, I mean, no one's given up, no one's given in. I think, you know, something I just kept saying was we still got to compete as men. We're down 30 in the fourth quarter. We still got to compete. You know, you still got to give it your all as we continue to go forward. That's all we can do. We can't control the outcome in certain aspects of our lives. But when it comes to football, you can prepare your tail off.
And that's the comments of a leader here. Derek Carr, at this point in time, is under siege. He's getting sacked often. The ball's coming out too soon. And it clearly looks like Derek Carr is pressing here, but he understands he's the leader. He has the C on the jersey for a reason, and he's got to play better football the remaining portion of the schedule. It's also on Derek to play well when the pocket is clean, to step up, look through his progressions, and be the leader and make plays week in and week out, something that didn't happen in that game against the 49ers. For John Gruden, Coach Gruden keeps stepping up and answering all the difficult questions. And especially, he believes that players are going to want to play for the franchise in the future, and he's not backing down.
Well, I'm just trying to get people excited about the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders is a great organization. I know it's not looking pretty right now, but I've heard a lot of negativity, you know, over the last 6 or 7 months, and rightfully so. We're going to build a championship football team here, and I know a lot of people, as players, as fans, and, you know, just in general, want to be a part of this.
And I agree with that. I believe that there is a plan in place for Coach Gruden. He has the plan. He understands it. And we'll be talking about this with the guests coming up on this week's edition of The Game Plan. But something I've been talking about on the radio to fans in person when I see him. He has a plan. You might not agree with the execution of the plan. 5 first-round picks in the next 2 seasons. A salary cap space, as we record this podcast, of $83-plus million and going up. So he's trying to set the stage for a resurgence for the Silver and Black. And quite frankly, everybody, we're not used to this in NFL history. We're just not used to seeing a team make moves like this in the regular season. Historically, what happens is a team at the end of the season either fires a coach, gets rid of part of the coaching staff, personnel, whatever it is, and players, and then they go into the offseason. What John Gruden is doing now is he's making those moves in season. It's very uncomfortable for a lot of people, including the players who don't know their future. But as I said, if you're a paid professional, you're getting paid to put on the silver and black, you're on film, you might need a job next year with another team, you have got to ball out. You have got to play hard on every play. You've got to give your best on every play. I didn't see that in Santa Clara against the 49ers. I didn't see that passion. I didn't see that intensity. I didn't see the team completely locked in to put on a show in the Battle of the Bay. And hopefully that is a moment that will resonate with these players who remain on this roster going forward. So the Chargers come in and they are red hot. The Chargers are playing as good as any team in football right now. Taking a look at some of their stats, their 8th in total offense, at close to 400 yards a game. They're 5th in rushing yards at 129 yards a game. And they're 12th in points per game at 22.5 when you look at their defense and how it's improved as of late. They're plus 6 in the turnover ratio as the Raiders are minus 6 in the turnover ratio. The Raiders are 31st in the NFL in regards to giving up points. 31.5 points per game, which has got to change, and they're last in the NFL in rushing defense at 144.5 yards per game. For Derek Carr in the passing attack, middle of the road, right there ranked 15th at 259 yards per game. And I think that's something for Derek to try to build on the rest of the way here, because Derek Carr is first in the AFC, second in the NFL, with the 72.3 completion percentage. Now, obviously, a lot of those passes are underneath, and there's a lot of short passes, and there's yards after catch, but let's have something to build on here. And the Raiders have got to find a way with only 7 sacks through 8 games to get more from the defensive line and the pass rush. They brought in new bodies and new players this week. As I mentioned, they said goodbye to Bruce Irvin, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to bring in players to evaluate them. Not to be here forever, but just to see if these guys can play. And John Gruden brought his rookies in last week and sat them down. He said, I need more out of you. I need more out of you going forward. And that's hopefully something that everybody can build on, is the fact that the Raiders are letting young rookies play, young players play. Colt Miller, if you look at P.J. Hall, Arden Key, Mo Hurst, who's having a good year, let those guys get the reps. But everybody else, all the veterans, I don't care if you're coming off the practice squad, whoever you are, play your best football. Go all out on every play and try to help the team win. And hopefully we see that coming up against the L.A. Chargers coming up this Sunday. Phillip Rivers comes in with 19 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions, and they are absolutely loaded on offense. Melvin Gordon, 597 yards on the ground. That's 5.4 yards per carry, 7 TDs on the ground. Keenan Allen at wide receiver, 47 receptions for 630 yards. Terrell Williams, 22 receptions, 450 yards, 5 touchdowns. Mike Williams, only 18 receptions, 5 touchdowns. And Melvin Gordon as a receiver, 31 receptions and 3 touchdowns. What does that tell me? And I haven't even included the tight end position, which historically with Gates and what they've done in the past, they love to attack the Raiders down the middle of the field. One thing to look for, and I've said it on this podcast often, misdirection. The Raiders on that first touchdown in Santa Clara, where Mullins found Garcon, play started one way, went back the other way, and there was no one home. That's what's got to be fixed. everybody from the safety position to linebackers. Got to get to the ball quicker. Got to tackle. This team right now does not tackle well. They do not get to the ball quickly enough. They are not reading the play from the offense, the other team's offense. They got to do a better job. Paul Gunther knows defense. He doesn't have all the players yet that he needs to make this a great defense. We're all aware of that. But the guys that he puts out there and practice hard all week, and believe me, they're practicing hard. Practice on the field and in the weight room, and of course in film study. The Raiders are dotting every I, crossing every T, but they've got to hope that the players that are out there providing that their head is right and they're ready to play, put out on every play and have a great game coming up. And just build on it, because the Chargers are playing well, and this is a rivalry. Chargers love coming into Oakland. They want to beat the Raiders more than any other franchise out there. And that says a lot with Kansas City and Denver in the division there. So that's where we are at the midway point in the season. And again, I appreciate everybody who's downloading this podcast, everybody who's retweeting it on Twitter, everybody who's talking about the Raiders. We are the front line of this franchise when it comes to this podcast and talking about what the team is going to do next. It was never my plan. Never my plan to talk about the past and talk about the future in regards to the draft and the personnel. The goal of this podcast, the game plan, is to game plan the upcoming opponent. That has now changed. And I will adjust on the fly and talk about where the franchise is going, what players are left, what players are going to be let go, what players are going to get more playing time, because it seems like that's what you want to talk about and react to. All right, let's get to the game plan with one of my favorite NFL insiders from NFL Network. Steve Wyche knows the Raiders as good as any NFL insider that I know. Last time I saw him, he was up in Napa before the start of the season. Steve, thanks for coming and joining us on the game plan. Let's jump right in and get your mid-season assessment of the Silver and Black.
Well, I think it's pretty easy. They're not good. I mean, they are on track probably to have the first overall pick in the 2019 draft, and which was based on the draft picks that they have, which is a good thing, because it's clearly a rebuild. I think John Gruden came into this with every expectation to be competitive this year while they retooled the roster, and once he kind of saw what was going on in training camp, they decided to tear it down. I mean, you know, no team's ever going to publicly decry this is a rebuild, because it's not fair to the players who are trying to coach and compete each and every week. But once the Khalil Mack trade went down, I think you could see exactly what was going on. So it's tough. They've got injuries. They're depleted talent-wise. So, again, there's really nothing positive you could take out of the first half of the season, and that's going to continue for the rest of the season. But everyone knows now it is a rebuild. There's no hiding it. So you take it for what it is. And you hope that next year with those three first-round picks and anything else they may accumulate, they strike on some players to really improve this roster.
All right, we spent some time together in Napa. Why didn't we see the rebuild at that point? And my theory is simple, that when John Gruden had his initial press conference, he was excited. He got there. All the alumni showed up. You were there. Then he got a chance to go in the bunker and take a look on film with his staff and look at the players that he was inheriting. And then getting him on the practice field, getting him up in Napa, he did not like the roster being at a level of competition with Kansas City, New England, the Rams, and decided to do this during the regular season, just something we're not accustomed to in NFL history.
Yeah, but you know he couldn't know what those teams necessarily were going to have once they took the field. They hadn't played a game yet, and he didn't play the game yet. There's a difference between looking at your roster and saying these players aren't any good. Remember, the majority of that roster was there when they went 12-4 into the playoffs last year. However, for what John Gruden wants to do, and we talk about coaches having their own personnel for their own styles, some of these players just didn't match up. I mean, he knew defensively. We all knew defensively they were going to struggle. They just did not have really good personnel. And now you're seeing how bad that personnel is in terms of what Paul Gunther and John Gruden want to do on that side of the ball. But in terms of what he wanted to do and how he wanted to coach, this wasn't the ideal type of team. I spoke to him at the combine. And look, he was telling me then, you know, there were 20 guys he wanted to turn over, and we saw he did that. But at the same time, he extolled praise on Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack, and these guys were going to be the basis of what they built. mean, when the money got to where the Raiders didn't want to pay Khalil Mack, they decided to move him. Amari Cooper didn't flourish, you know. So it just things for what John Gruden wants to do, this personnel just wasn't there. Now we just have to see, again, in rebuilding this team, if the personnel he wants, if he can get it, because that's not always the easiest thing to do.
Steve Weiss joins us. You go back with Derek Carr since he's come into the league, and you work with his brother. Now, saying that, and I think a lot of the problems are on defense, period. They just can't stop anybody. They can't stop the run. They're playing rookies. I get it. There's two rookie tackles on the offensive side. But why is Derek Carr having this much difficulty just getting the ball out? Why aren't receivers getting open, running basic routes where he can look at a receiver and go with the ball in that direction and let the receiver make a play? It seems like he's going through his progressions, and when he starts to do it, Steve, the pocket collapses.
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem. And look, we can sit here and talk about the two rookie tackles, but I was with Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, when he was in Atlanta. His run game blocking scheme is effective. We saw it work in Seattle. We saw it work in Atlanta when I was there, when they were leading the NFL in rushing. But in terms of pass protection, that's never been good. It wasn't good in Atlanta. It wasn't good in Seattle. And now we're seeing it's not good here. They've got to figure out how they can retool the overall protection. That comes on John Gruden as a coordinator. Coordinators design protection as well. Okay, they don't just determine what goes on in the secondary. I'm sorry, in the offensive backfield. They have got to find out what their players do well. These young players can do well and do whatever they can to protect Derek Carr. I have seen coaches take poor performing offensive lines 1 year, and the next year bring them at least up to an adequate stage. Okay, but the other part you mentioned, the receivers. I mean, this is why I don't see a lot of hope over the back half of the season. When you look, Jordy Nelson's not what he was. You know, Seth Roberts. You know, you look at the talent there. These are guys who wouldn't be starting for most teams in the NFL, but that's what the Raiders are working with right now. So it's a combination of talent that doesn't fit the coaching that doesn't fit the talent, overall scheme not working, and you just have to hope this doesn't damage Derek Carr, because that's going to be the big question, JT. Is after the season, let's say they have the first or second pick, are they going to use one of those on a quarterback? Because they can get out of Derek's contract with minimal cap pain. I wouldn't do it. I think Derek is a fantastic quarterback. You have a quarterback. You've got to ride with him. But if they decide to take that step, then that's going to be a real, real interesting dilemma, let's call it, moving forward.
Steve Weiss joins us, reporter, analyst, host for NFL Network, one of the more connected analysts you'll see with the silver and black. I want to get to the Chargers coming up with 5 wins in a row and how balanced they are as they get set to take on the Raiders this Sunday in the Black Hole. Really important game, I think, for Phillip Rivers to keep the momentum from a Chargers perspective. He gets up for those Raider games. He's had some battles with them, and they're just so balanced. Looking at the depth of that wide receiver core, obviously what Melvin Gordon can do on the ground. They run a lot of misdirection that give the Raiders fits. Talk about how this Charger team has improved over the last month.
Well, one of the biggest improvements is the offensive line. You talk about taking a group that's had some injuries. They've got a backup right tackle in Sam Tevy, who's played most of the season. Not that great. He's an athletic player, but they've designed schemes that allow them to run it and pass it among the best teams in the NFL. Now, in terms of facing the Raiders, we know that's a rivalry, but right now, the Chargers are looking at the team who they're only one game behind. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they've got an opportunity. They've got to at least keep pace with Kansas City to get to the playoffs as a wild card team or maybe the division champion. But this is a very, very talented football team. Okay, let's look at the backfield. Besides Melvin Gordon, the backup tailback, Austin Eckler, a fantastic change of pace back. He can catch it. He can run between the tackles. He brings an awful lot. Maybe the second or third best running back tandem in the NFL. I'll put them behind Ingram and Kamara right now, but, I mean, they're toe-to-toe. Then you look at the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. JT, all the wide receivers are 6'3 or taller, except for Travis Benjamin, and they can go. Tyrell Williams, this guy has become a big play highlight week to week. I mean, they're loaded on that side of the ball. Talent. Everything is rolling right now. If they can just fix this kicking game, which has been a disaster, They're going to challenge for a deep run in the playoffs.
You can see Steve every Monday on NFL Network's The Aftermath, 3 p.m. Eastern. Steve, as we wrap this up, what I'm watching closely this Sunday with the Raiders and going forward is the players who are on the roster, and a lot of them know they're not going to be back next year. We all know that. But how do they perform? How do they show pride? How do they put their play on tape? How do they get to the ball quicker, tackle better? We know the roster. We know some of the injuries. You went over that. What does John Gruden have to do to get the message to these players to show up, play their best football going forward? Because coming off London and coming off that game November 1st in Santa Clara, I mean, it's been rough. I thought that was one of the worst games I've ever seen the Raiders ever play in the history of their franchise. How do they put that behind them and step up and play for Gruden going forward?
Well, I mean, he's going to have to nail everything you just said. Okay, we may not want you next year. You better put it on tape for somebody else. You have a finite NFL career. You want to be known as a quitter. You want to be known as a dog under adverse circumstances. You'll quit, say, adversity, you know, reveals character. You want to be that guy who nobody wants to touch because you look like a turd on tape? Or do you want to be somebody who, regardless of the circumstance, is going to man up and play? Because when you're out there on a football field, I've played. Okay, when you're on a football field, I played on some bad teams. I still wanted to be the best player on the field. And that's usually the mentality, regardless of what's going on. You want to be the best player on the field. That's the pride. And if you have guys who don't want to be that guy, you're going to see him. And we sure did see some efforts like that against the 49ers. So John Gruden basically has to just be honest with his players. If you're honest with guys, They'll understand. I mean, that's the one thing you hear over and over, JT. You've heard it. I've heard it. As long as the coach is direct with me and honest, I can at least respect that. Be honest with them. Tell them to put it on tape week to week. Let's get a win. Let's feel better about ourselves. We have plenty of season to go, and then we'll move on from there.
You know how much I value your opinion and our friendship. Thanks for joining us on The Game Plan, Steve. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on.
Always love having Steve on. Again, he's a go-to guy. He's got tremendous access to the Raider organization and very honest there with his assessment. Now we welcome in a guy who came into this league and dominated when he was a San Diego Charger, 3-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro. Lights out, Sean Merriman joins us on the Raiders Game Plan podcast. Sean, thanks for coming on. And let's start with the Chargers. Assess their play at the halfway point of the season.
You know, right now the Chargers have all the momentum in the world. But if you look back at how they finished the year last year, it makes a lot of sense, right? They started off that 0-4 start, and I believe they won 9 in a row. They were pretty hot. So what's happening is they just have a carryover from the year before, and I don't believe anyone's really talking about them much, which is a good thing. You know, sometimes it's not bad to fly under the radar, and they're definitely doing that right now.
There are two players I want to spend some time with you on. First, Melvin Ingram and his ability to play at your level when you came into the league, reading the offense, understanding how to fill gaps, and then when he has a chance to explode, he's able to do that with fundamentals. Talk about his play.
Yeah, you know, one thing about Melvin Ingram, he's one of these guys that is not getting a lot of credit. Right now, he's not having Joey Bosa on the other side of him, and he's still been able to make big plays. You know, only can imagine what's going to happen when Joey finally gets back and he gets healthy again. They've been able to find ways to win football games. They've been finding ways to get after the quarterback and playing well. So having Joey Bosa now back in the lineup, I think in the next week or so, should do them some justice.
Sean, is an NFL analyst now, and going back to your era and knowing John Gruden, there's a lot of background noise now because just people aren't used to a coach with that type of power, making that type of money, making decisions with personnel during the season. Do you think this is a trend we're going to see in years to come, that if a team doesn't like the roster, instead of waiting till the offseason in January, they'll make moves on the fly?
Yeah, I believe so. But one thing I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of is 10-year contracts being given out. But it made, like I said, it made sense. It sounded a little crazy that you give a head coach that long of a guarantee and that much money. But if they're planning for the future, it makes complete sense for them to be playing the way they're playing right now, having the season they're having. And then next year, they come in and get a couple first-round draft picks, they get a couple guys in-house that are John Gruden's guys. And then the third year, they could be clicking on all cylinders. So I don't plan on seeing this organization getting back to, to being a really good ball club until the third or fourth year of John Gruden being there. And then that's if he's going to be there.
Sean Merriman's our guest, three-time NFL Pro Bowler, three-time NFL All-Pro, the CEO of Lights Out Brand. Sean, with the Chargers and your friendship with Phillip Rivers, I've said for years he's a Hall of Famer. Statistically alone, yards, completions, touchdowns, and all that. He played throughout the entire Brady era as Brady's at 41. How do you assess his play now, the decisions he's making, the talent he has around him? Do you really believe he's going to have a run at a Super Bowl coming up here in the next few years?
You have to believe he will. Quietly, he's having an MVP season, and no one's even talking about it, which I said earlier before, that's not necessarily a bad thing. If you fly to the radar as long as you can and have some of your teams and the outside, the media, taking you lightly, because then you can go and steal some games away before anyone really starts to pay attention to you. You're on a hot streak. You have all the momentum in the world. So I'm sure that has to light a fire under them. I know if I was still on the team and no one was talking about us and we were having the season we're having from Phillip Rivers, everything gets Phillip motivated, every single thing. So by him not being talked about, even though you have the showdown last week with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers being the greatest quarterbacks and hyping that game up so much, and Phillip's quietly having one of his best years and no one's talking about it. So that could be a great thing for them.
Give me a story about coming out of the tunnel in Oakland back in the day when the Raider fans are yelling at you coming out. You look to the black hole. What do you see with the fans hanging over? And then they're hanging over your bench area when you're in Oakland. You got to have a few Oakland stories.
Oh, no doubt about it. Playing up in the black hole was always crazy. I remember my rookie year, I got a sack on, I think it was Curry Collins or whoever it was, the quarterback. But I think it was Curry Collins. I got a quarterback hit and did the lights out dance. I remember coming back to the sidelines and one of the Raiders fans throwing a 90-volt, one of those square batteries, launched one on the field at me, and it barely missed me. And I looked back, and it looked like Halloween. It was straight up. Everyone had costumes and saying everything under the sun. It was a tough environment to play in because of just how the fans brought it there. So that'll be one of my most memorable stadiums to ever get a chance to play in.
I know the Raiders and the Chargers have a deep friendship relationship off the field, from Al Davis to Mr. Spanos, who just passed away. Would you like to comment on the passing of Alex Spanos and what he meant to you?
Yes. Mr. Spanos does so much for the community, especially out there in San Diego, but also where he's from. Done so much for so many organizations, and being there playing for the Chargers in my years, I didn't get a chance, a whole lot of time to spend with him personally, but you hear all the stories of organizations that he's helped out and he's benefited and what he's done for the community around him. Obviously, he was a staple, not just for the Chargers, but to the NFL. He has done a lot for people and always leave that legacy.
Sean, last question with this rivalry and what it means. What do you think the Chargers need to do in Los Angeles to compete against the Rams long-term? Because there were rumors and talks about going back to San Diego. They'll be there sharing the stadium with Mr. Kroenke and the Rams. You're asked this all the time. What has to happen for the Chargers to flourish eventually in L.A. if it can happen?
You know, I always say winning cures all. Mm-hmm. When you win football games, people are a lot happier. I remember going to the stadium to StubHub when they were 0-4 last year, starting the season off bad, and it wasn't a great environment. You got to move from San Diego to L.A., and you start the season very slow, and just people are really not happy, but you win and get people back involved and get the fans back involved again. It changes a lot of attitudes, and that's just not for the Chargers, but that's just in sports in general. People like to be a part of winners, and you have to win games to keep people motivated.
Sean, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate you taking a few moments out of your day for us. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
Yeah, you got to give it to Lights Out. He was a player back in the day. And when he came into Oakland, I remember the fans getting all over him. And he was able to back it up, ended his career with the Buffalo Bills. Finally, we wrap up this week's edition of The Game Plan in studio with a guy that I work across the hall with, the best sports writer in all of Nevada. Ed Graney's also a radio host on ESPN Radio in Las Vegas. He writes for the Las Vegas Review Journal, and I welcome him to the Game Plan Podcast. Ed, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, JT. I appreciate it. How are you?
Really good. I want to jump in here with a few minutes with you and talk about some things that are happening right now that are fluid. Raiders bring in a couple of defensive linemen because Bruce Irvin was let go. Did you see the Bruce Irvin move coming? Is it a good move, in your opinion, as this roster continues to be evaluated?
I don't know if I saw it coming. Obviously, his snaps have decreased. I just think right now, JT, I don't think anything will surprise me. I'll correct myself. I would be surprised at Carr. That's really the only guy I think at this point, given what Coach Gruden's doing in terms of rebuilding it and his image and who he wants, that I would be surprised at. Some people would say I'm wrong and they wouldn't be surprised at him. I still think he's their quarterback of the future. Something tells me that they've told him that. But no, I guess so. It didn't surprise me, Bruce Irvin, and who they're signing. It's funny. I saw a stat the other day that of the 2016 playoff team, is there 11 or 12 guys left? It's a low number. But I think what people don't realize is, and you've said this, with the draft picks coming up, with the free agencies coming up, there's a lot of guys on the team right now that will be turnover. So they're going to really, he's going to maybe turn this over twice in 16 to 18 months to get who he really wants in here.
Let's wrap it up with the Chargers, who you keep a very close eye on also. Their offense, their receivers are playing at a very high level. We see that Rivers and that offensive line's improved. He has time, and when he doesn't have time, he steps up in the pocket or moves and makes plays. He's had big games against the Raiders. You look at Gordon and Ingram on defense and what he can do. This is a really big test for the Raiders because the Chargers despise the Raiders. They really like to play in Oakland. They understand the black hole and the importance of this game. Talk about how the Chargers have improved over the last couple of weeks and the momentum they carry into Sunday.
They're good, and you're exactly right. And look, and I was there for 20 years in San Diego, and I covered him for a long time, features and columns, and you know, everyone says what's going on with the Chargers, you know, it will happen when he leaves, you know, but he's still there. He wants to win more than anything. I think Rivers is terrific. I always thought he has. I give him a hard time. I think he whines a little too much, but you breathe on him and he's whining, but he's a terrific player. It's fascinating how bad their kicking's been. I've never seen an organization that has such good players in some semblance and then they can't get a kicker ever. You go back to the Carney days, the last time, you know, that you start talking about great kickers, but you know, they're really good. And I think what you're seeing with Philip Rivers, there is a sense of, aggression to get it done. I mean, he doesn't have many more years left. So there's a heightened awareness, I think, by him. And that's why he's playing so well. It's going to be a tough game for the Raiders. You're exactly right. The Chargers know what they're going into. They walk into the black hole. That doesn't affect them at all. And again, other than Arizona and Denver on Christmas Eve, let's be honest, from here on out, they will be playing teams, meaning the Raiders, either probably in the playoffs or fighting for a spot. So they're not going to outfocus anyone. None of those teams. I mean, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincy, all those teams, Kansas City twice, will either be playing for home field or Siege or whatever. Those will be really hard to win. I think maybe if you're looking at games, can they win Arizona, although they beat San Francisco twice, Christmas Eve with the Broncos, they won't be in it. But there's not many opportunities, I think, going forward, JT, this season with wins. And I wouldn't think this was one if the Chargers play up to their capabilities. And I would assume they would because they're fighting for a playoff spot. And Rivers doesn't have many years left. He will not let them, I think, be unfocused in the moment. And that's why you see a double-digit spread.
Last question from a media perspective. I have so much respect for what you do because you're based in Vegas. You're doing radio, but you're covering the team. And you're doing it at a high level, traveling with the team. I just think there's so much background noise. Because no matter what happens, Amari Cooper catches a ball, and then everybody says, oh, my God, look at Amari. Khalil Mack has a sack. And everybody...
All the gifts on Twitter.
Right. And all the negativity is compounded, and it's getting more personal. And you travel above that. What I find interesting is I don't think, as football fans, we're accustomed to a team changing a roster this drastically in a regular season.
Yeah.
Dating back to Lombardi and Landry to Jimmy Johnson, who made the Herschel Walker trade, the Giants gave us a little taste with trading Eli Apple and Snacks Harrison. I think, and I could be wrong, that this will be the wave and the trend of the future. I think going forward, and maybe Gruden will be the guy they referred to, 3-4 years from now, we're going to see teams that are 1-6 or they're 2-5 out of the gate, and it's the trade deadline, and owners and coaches and GMs are saying, get rid of everybody. because we're revamping this in the offseason. Let's start the revamp in October, November instead of January, February. Is there anything to that?
Sure, especially if he wins and turns him into a championship team, because it's a copycat existence within professional sports. Everyone copycats who wins. So if Gruden turns this around and wins a championship, absolutely. People will say, well, how did he do it? And they'll go back and they'll see how he did it. I agree with you. Look, I mean, you have to move on. He's going to be the coach. He's going to be the coach for a long time. And, some of it surprised me with the media in terms of the gifts and stuff. It's like, you know, look, it's over. I mean, just move on and cover the people who were there. I mean, yes, Cooper's gone, Klimak's gone. That's done. He's not going to suddenly not be the coach. This is how he's doing it. This is the decisions he's made in terms of rebuilding it in his image for whatever that ends up being. So move on. But I get what you're saying. I mean, Khalil Mack or Amari Cooper, whoever it is, can't do anything with, you know, gifts or tweets or you know, updated stats. It gets old in my mind. I mean, they're not very good. They're not going to end up with a good record. They're going to get the way Dallas is playing, they'll have two top 10 picks. And Dallas, growing up, is my team. They need the Bears to start losing, I guess, to get three top 15. So the Bears keep winning. But they're going to get three first round picks. And if you're a Raider fan out there, you hope he hits them and you hope he does well in free agency.
Fantastic. Thanks for doing
this. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody. Ed Graney is a must follow at Ed Graney. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, thanks to all of our guests. We'll get you ready for the game plan against the Arizona Cardinals next week. Keep it to Raiders.com, and thanks for downloading the podcast at iTunes. I'm JT the Brick.
Thank you for listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.